Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for March 30th, 2010. I'm Annalisa Van Hook. Today I'm speaking with Dario Alessi about new work from his lab about how the tumor suppressor, LKB1, not only keeps cell proliferation in check, but also regulates cell adhesion. Dr. Alessi spoke to me from the University of Dundee in Scotland. Welcome, Dr. Alessi.
Well, thank you for having me.
This paper from your group is about LKB1, which is a tumor suppressor protein. What is a tumor suppressor protein, and specifically, how does LKB1 act as a tumor suppressor?
I suppose we got into this field, about 12 years ago now, when it was discovered that a very rare cancer syndrome called Peutz-Jeghers syndrome that maybe only affects one person in 200,000 is caused by loss of function mutations in this gene called LKB1. And people who have this cancer syndrome develop a lot of benign as well as malignant tumors. And nothing was known about how LKB1 functioned or worked. And the idea was that it was required to suppress tumors or cell growth, because when you removed it from cells, the cells started to proliferate and divide. And when you put it back into cells, you stopped the proliferation and cell division. So that gave birth to a whole new field of research in which researchers try to find the molecular mechanism by which LKB1 might suppress the proliferation and growth of tumor cells. And our group, as well as many other groups, discovered that it exerted these effects by activating a downstream kinase called AMP kinase. And then we also found that there were other kinases related to AMP kinase that were activated by LKB1. And then this work led to the idea that maybe, LKB1 mediated its tumor suppressive effects by activating AMP kinase as well as these AMPK-related kinases. And that's where the field was 2 or 3 years ago.
How did identifying these targets illuminate the function of LKB1? So you have LKB1 as a tumor suppressor, and it's acting by phosphorylating these other kinases. What do those kinases do in terms of cell biology?
So the most understood kinase is AMP kinase that LKB1 activates. And this is a very well-studied kinase. I think there's nearly one or two papers published every day on this enzyme. And this was a very big surprise that, it was activated by LKB1. And so AMP kinase is activated by low energy conditions in cells, or energy stress. And when cells get stressed, ATP levels go down in cells, and this leads to the activation of AMP kinase by LKB1. And what seems to be happening from a lot of research that's been done is that this seems to be an energy checkpoint in the cell cycle. So when cells have low energy levels, the last thing a cell wants to do is to grow and divide, because that obviously requires a lot of energy resource to do that. So what happens under those conditions, the AMP kinase becomes activated, and this switches off inappropriate cell growth when energy conditions or nutrient levels are low. And this seems to be a very important pathway by which LKB1 suppresses cell growth or enables cell growth to be coupled to the availability of energy levels in cells. It also offers the really exciting possibility that perhaps if you could activate the AMP kinase pathway in cancer cells that still have this pathway working, you could maybe trick, a cancer cell into thinking it hasn't got enough energy to divide, and use a natural pathway that cells have to stop cell growth to inhibit or delay the development of tumors. And there's a lot of people now investigating this possibility, because it turns out that the most widely used drug to treat type 2 diabetes is a compound called metformin. And it turns out that metformin actually exerts its biological effects by triggering the activation of AMP kinase. So this is in the field of diabetes. And what happens when AMP kinase is activated in the liver and muscle tissues is that it stimulates glucose uptake and lowers blood glucose levels. But the idea is that maybe in cancer cells, if you can activate AMP kinase using this drug metformin, you could maybe reduce cell growth or delay tumorigenesis. And there's quite a lot of evidence that many groups have shown in the last few years that this is indeed possible. And I think there's at least 20 or so different clinical trials now ongoing to test whether or not metformin or other analogs of this drug that might activate AMP kinase can be used to treat cancer. So it's sort of a very interesting way that, you know, studying this very obscure and very rare cancer signaling pathway has led to an idea that can maybe be used to treat cancer more generally.
That's an example of LKB1 having an activity in this energy sensing pathway to prevent cells from dividing when they don't have enough energy.
That's a very nice way of putting it.
Your group has described another role for LKB1 that could potentially contribute to its tumor suppressor activity.
Yes, the current paper that's in Science Signaling, what we decided to look at one of these other targets that LKB1 activates, and which is a target called NUAC1. And you know, maybe the reason we started working on it is because there was really nothing known, or virtually nothing known, about the biological roles of this enzyme. And we could see from an enzymatic assay that this was quite an abundant kinase in cells. Its activity was exquisitely dependent on LKB1. And, you know, we felt that for those reasons that it would potentially have a role to play in mediating the tumor protective effects of, you know, LKB1. And there were also clues in the literature suggesting that, you know, in C. elegans, for example, loss of homologs of NUAC1 resulted in, you know, very large defects in muscle development, which is also a hallmark of tumors in humans that in which LKB1 is lacking. And it was also reported that overexpression of NUAC1 in cancer cells, you know, might affect the invasiveness of these tumors. So we felt that the NUAC1 was an unstudied protein which was likely to have an interesting function. So, you know, my student in the lab, Anna Zargoska, decided for her PhD research project to investigate, you know, how NUAC1 might function. And what she found was that it bound to a phosphatase complex known as the myosin phosphatase complex. And it binds in a very unusual way to this complex, involving three highly conserved motifs, which during evolution have been extremely well conserved on a non-catalytic region of this enzyme. And this enables it to interact with the phosphatase. And interestingly, when phosphatases normally bind to proteins, the phosphatase normally dephosphorylates the protein. But in this case, binding of NUAC to the phosphatase, the NUAC isn't dephosphorylated by the phosphatase, but instead NUAC1 puts three phosphate groups onto a regulatory subunit of the phosphatase.
Rather than being an enzymatic target of the phosphatase, it's a regulator of that phosphatase's activity.
Yes, and that's what's unusual. I mean, it's evolved to be able to regulate the phosphatase by phosphorylating a three residues. And this leads to the interaction of the phosphatase with another molecule called 14-3-3 that leads to the inhibition of this phosphatase complex. And I was actually personally very curious with this observation because it's a strange story, but when I started my postdoc 18 years ago working with Philip Cohen in Dundee, my first project was to purify the myosin phosphatase from smooth muscle. And I spent 3 years working in the cold room purifying this phosphatase complex from chicken gizzard that is a smooth muscle. Every Monday I used to have to kill 30 chickens and then purify this phosphatase complex. And it took me nearly 3 years' work to do it. And eventually when I purified it and cloned the subunits, we decided probably wrongly that this molecule might not be that an exciting molecule to work on. But we cloned it and reported it in the literature. And since then there's been an explosion of work on this enzyme as being a very important regulator of myosin activity within cells, which is very relevant to understanding polarity and cell adhesion. So I was very happy to see this molecule again after 18 years of work reemerge, and, you know, from a completely different screen that we'd done in the lab. So that was also one of the reasons why we probably started working on this as well.
This phosphatase complex, whose activity is regulated by NUAC1, its role is to regulate the cytoskeleton, which then affects how cells are shaped, how cells can migrate, how cells are polarized.
Yes, that's what's emerging from the work in the literature, that it plays a very important role in regulating all of these processes. And it probably is a master phosphatase that will probably regulate the phosphorylation of a large number of substrates, probably most that haven't yet been defined. Everyone now simply looks at probably one physiological substrate of this enzyme. It's called myosin light chain. This is a key protein that regulates the activity of the myosin ATPase. And when it's phosphorylated, you activate muscle contraction or you regulate the ability of myosin to move organelles and things around cells. And it's very clear that this is a really important marker for cell adhesion, for polarity. And many genetic screens, all pathways that affect, you know, polarity or adhesion have, you know, dramatic effects on myosin light chain phosphorylation. And this can be mediated via the kinase that phosphorylates myosin light chain or by modulating the activity of this phosphatase complex.
In terms of relating the cytoskeleton to LKB1, have you determined whether LKB1 activity promote cell adhesion or inhibit cell adhesion? Does it promote cell migration? Does it promote changes in cell shape?
Those are really very important questions. So I think we looked at this in three different ways. We first got cells that lacked either LKB1 or cells that lacked the NUAC1 kinase. And we looked at how this affected cell adhesion, especially by using indirect assays such as their ability to detach either with trypsinization or with another buffer called DTTA that promotes cells to detach from the matrix that they're growing on. And what we found was that cells that lack the LKB1 or the kinase that's activated by LKB1 NUAC, these cells detach much more slowly than the wild-type counterparts. And we also found the same results when we used the pharmacological compound that inhibits NUAC1 activity. This drug, you know, also dramatically inhibited cell detachment in response to various agents. And we've also seen similar results when we overexpress wild-type or inactive forms of NUAC in cells. And those are maybe crude, you know, measures of cell adhesion, as you alluded to in your question, cell shape and also migration, you know, are really more physiological readouts. So we're starting to look at, you know, cell migration at the moment. That's not in the paper, but we do have very nice effects of inhibiting cell migration when we modulate the LKB1 NUAC1 pathway. And we've also looked at cell shape by microscopy before and after cell detachment. And we find that, you know, when we inhibit the LKB1 and NUAC pathway, the cells are much more adherent, much flatter. They seem to be, you know, stuck to the matrix which they're attaching to with a much greater strength than the cells that don't have this pathway. They also have more cell-cell contacts, more focal adhesions. So probably this pathway orchestrates many events that regulate the ability of cells to adhere to their matrix.
We often think of loss of cell adhesion as promoting cancer, whereas here you're showing that knocking out this anti-tumor pathway actually promotes adhesion and makes cells stick more tightly. Does that seem a little counterintuitive to the conventional wisdom?
I mean, I agree completely. It does seem counterintuitive, potentially. And, you know, I think with all of these processes, there's a balance between cell adhesion and cell detachment. And for cells to come off a cancer and then to stick to somewhere else, you need to disrupt these pathways in subtle ways. And these things are also linked to cell polarity. So it's possible that metastasized cells that lack this pathway are more able to attach to or remain attached to inappropriate tissues in the body. And I do agree it's a very complex question of knowing how much cell adhesion does one need, whether too much is going to cause cancer or too little is going to cause cancer.
The important thing is that it's a balance, that cell adhesion and migration and shape and polarity all have to be very tightly regulated to keep a cell from growing out of control, or small changes in those sorts of physical properties can promote cancer.
Absolutely. I know some drug companies have interests in developing inhibitors to NUAC1 because it's been shown to be overexpressed in some cancers. Obviously, it's just tricky to know whether this would be a bad or a good thing. My gut feeling is that maybe if you inhibit this pathway, the cells would become more adherent and that might stimulate metastasis. But until they develop the drugs and this is tested, you know, it's hard to know.
So how do these new results from your group tie in with what was already known about the activities of LKB1?
Everyone thinks that all the effects of the LKB1 pathway are mediated by activation of the downstream AMP kinases. But the finding that this pathway also controls the activity of a phosphatase complex is just another mechanism by which this pathway can influence the phosphorylation of proteins by promoting their phosphorylation by inhibiting phosphatase complex.
Thank you, Dr. Alessi, for speaking with me.
Well, thank you very much, Annalisa. It was a pleasure.
That was Dario Alessi, corresponding author on a research article published in the March 30th issue of Science Signaling. That article is by Zagorska and colleagues and is titled New Roles for the LKB1 NUAC Pathway in Controlling Myosin Phosphatase Complexes and Cell Adhesion. And that wraps up the Science Signaling podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. This show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.